Good morning. It's November 13th, 2025. Here are today's top stories from Sigma Speaks. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app. This report discusses the arrest of Eric Gillespie, the founder of Govini, a defense technology startup, on serious charges related to soliciting a minor. CNBC warns that Gillespie, aged 57, faces multiple felony charges, including unlawful contact with a minor. He has been denied bail due to concerns about flight risk and public safety. Govini, based in Virginia, has significant ties to the U.S. government, holding a contract valued at $900 million and partnerships with the Department of Defense. The company had recently announced surpassing $100 million in annual recurring revenue and is recognized as a unicorn in the defense sector. Following the news of Gillespie's arrest, Govini promptly placed him on administrative leave, emphasizing their commitment to cooperate with law enforcement and uphold ethical standards. The Pennsylvania Attorney General's office reported that Gillespie allegedly attempted to arrange a meeting with someone he believed to be a preteen girl, using an online platform often associated with such offenses. The investigation revealed evidence suggesting Gillespie had inappropriate methods of contacting minors. Authorities are urging anyone with additional information to come forward. This incident raises critical questions about security, particularly given Govini's role in sensitive military operations and their access to valuable data for the U.S. Army's Next Generation Command and Control program. Pentagon officials stated they are reviewing the situation, taking these allegations very seriously. The ramifications of Gillespie's actions could have far-reaching effects, not only on his personal life, but also on the future of Govini and its operations within the defense industry.
His commentary focuses on the competition in the autonomous ride-hailing market, particularly between Tesla and Uber. As reported earlier by Motley Fool, the race to dominate the autonomous ride-hailing sector is heating up, with significant opportunities on the horizon. ARK Investment Management has projected that this market could represent a staggering $10 trillion opportunity in the long run. Tesla is positioning itself as a frontrunner with its planned Cybercab, a self-driving robotaxi set for mass production in 2026. The company aims to develop a network where these Cybercabs can operate autonomously, generating a new stream of revenue. However, there are concerns that Tesla may be falling behind Uber, which currently has the largest ride-hailing network globally. Uber has made substantial strides by collaborating with over 20 companies focused on developing autonomous vehicles and delivery robots. Many of these partners are already executing thousands of trips daily, demonstrating the potential of their technology. Uber's advantage lies not just in having a self-driving car, but in its established ride-hailing infrastructure, which allows for efficient demand management. This is crucial for providing timely service, as they have perfected this model over the past 15 years. As Uber transitions to autonomous vehicles, its existing experience could make this shift seamless compared to Tesla, which may struggle to match Uber's scale and efficiency. Notably, other autonomous vehicle developers are aligning with Uber to leverage its extensive network, which could expedite their commercial efforts. In terms of financials, Uber's recent report indicated gross bookings of nearly $50 billion in the third quarter, with a significant portion attributed to human driver earnings. As the company gradually replaces human drivers with autonomous vehicles, this could significantly boost its revenues. Valuation further favors Uber at the moment, with its price-to-sales ratio around 4, compared to Tesla's much higher ratio of over 16. Uber's revenue growth of 20% year-over-year in the latest quarter also outpaces Tesla's 12% growth, raising questions about the current valuation disparity. Overall, if the autonomous ride-hailing industry is indeed on track to become a $10 trillion market, Uber appears to be strategically better positioned to take advantage of this potential than Tesla. The differences in their operational efficiencies and valuations are becoming increasingly relevant for investors considering their options.
This commentary discusses the potential impact of a forthcoming U.S. Supreme Court decision on tariffs and its implications for several major companies. Motley Fool reports that the Supreme Court is currently evaluating tariffs imposed by the Trump administration, which could lead to a significant shift in the stock market. The court's decision is anticipated to favor a reversal of these tariffs, which, if it occurs, could stimulate positive reactions in the market. Notably, three companies are highlighted as potential beneficiaries of such a ruling. First up is Apple, which has felt the financial strain of these tariffs, estimating a loss of $1.1 billion in the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2025, with expectations for that figure to rise to $1.4 billion in the following quarter. Given that Apple generates over $100 billion in quarterly revenue, these tariff costs, while significant, are manageable. Should the Supreme Court strike down the tariffs, analysts predict that Apple's stock will likely surge, especially amidst already strong consumer demand for its products. Next, General Motors has also been hit hard by these tariffs, particularly because many of its vehicles are manufactured in Canada and Mexico. The company reported a gross tariff cost of $1.1 billion for the third quarter of 2025, with overall tariff exposure estimated between $3.5 billion and $4.5 billion for the entire year. While the Supreme Court ruling may not directly affect the main tariffs under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act, any relief from the tariffs linked to the International Emergency Economic Powers Act could still bolster investor confidence in GM. Finally, United Parcel Service has expressed concerns that tariffs negatively impact trade, particularly affecting small and mid-sized enterprises that are crucial to its business. The company's chief executive officer noted a significant decline in trade volume from China to the U.S. earlier this year, emphasizing the stakes involved for UPS. A Supreme Court decision against the tariffs could provide a much-needed boost to UPS and its customer base, making its stock a strong contender for growth if the ruling goes as many expect. In summary, all eyes are on the Supreme Court as its decision could drastically reshape the financial landscape for these major companies and their shareholders. This report discusses the first quarter financial results of Alkane Resources Limited for the period ending September 30, 2025. As reported earlier by Globe Newswire, Alkane has experienced significant developments following its merger with Mandalay Resources, which concluded in early August. During the first quarter of 2026, Alkane produced nearly 30,000 ounces of gold and over 100 tons of antimony, yielding a total of approximately 30,500 ounces of gold equivalent. The company reported consolidated revenues of $147 million, a substantial increase compared to the same period last year, primarily driven by higher production levels and a rise in gold prices. Operating costs surged to approximately $105 million, reflecting the operational expansion from the merger. Despite the boost in revenue, Alkane faced a net loss of about $2.7 million, a contrast to a profit of $11.3 million in the prior year. The financial strain was partly attributed to significant one-off costs related to the merger. In terms of production costs, the cash operating cost per ounce of gold equivalent rose to over $2,200, while all-in sustaining costs reached nearly $3,000 per ounce. These increases highlight the operational challenges following the merger, especially at the newly acquired mines. Looking forward, Alkane's solid balance sheet, with cash and investments totaling around $191 million, positions the company well for future growth and operational stability. The company maintains a strong focus on optimizing its mining operations and improving ore quality to enhance production outcomes in the coming quarters.
This commentary focuses on a Taiwanese lawmaker advocating for the government to consider Bitcoin as part of its strategic reserves. Decrypt.co reports that Geru Jun, a legislator from the Taiwan People's Party, is pressing the central bank to reassess its stance on digital assets, particularly in light of global trends suggesting that Bitcoin may play a role in central bank balance sheets by the end of the decade. Gehr highlights the need for Taiwan to adapt to current financial realities, arguing that the government has been overly cautious regarding Bitcoin. He emphasized that virtual assets are not just speculative investments anymore, but are becoming crucial for national security and financial independence. His comments come as Taiwan's foreign exchange reserves are significant, heavily invested in U.S. Treasury bonds, raising questions about the country's financial strategy in a changing economic landscape. The Taiwanese government's current approach appears to be influenced by its dependence on the U.S. dollar and its economic ties to China, which could pose risks given the geopolitical climate. Meanwhile, the Premier has committed to updating assessments of Bitcoin reserves by the end of the year, indicating that this discussion is gaining traction among policymakers. Local observers note that this debate extends beyond Bitcoin itself, reflecting Taiwan's broader reassessment of its technological and financial positioning in the global economy. Bonnie Chang, a prominent commentator on cryptocurrencies, points out that the discourse around digital assets is complex and intertwined with the public's past experiences with scams, emphasizing the need for enhanced financial education to guide these discussions productively.
This discusses Citigroup's call for stronger government intervention in China's struggling property market. South China Morning Post's latest research indicates that Citigroup is urging Beijing to implement more aggressive stimulus measures to revive the real estate sector, which has been declining since early 2022. The bank's chief economist for Greater China, Yu Shangrong, highlighted several potential strategies, such as reducing interest rates, cutting taxes, easing restrictions on home purchases, and even buying back unused land. These steps, according to Yu, could be crucial in stabilizing the property market, which in turn would support consumer spending and help the economy grow. China's economy has expanded by 5.2% in the first three quarters of this year, putting it on track to meet the government's annual growth target of 5%. However, Yu predicts that next year's growth might slow to 4.7%. Citigroup joins other major financial institutions like UBS and Goldman Sachs in advocating for measures aimed at stabilizing home prices and boosting transactions in the property market. The real estate sector is vital to China's economy, accounting for about a quarter of its overall output, emphasizing the importance of these proposed interventions.
This report covers dLocal Limited's third quarter earnings results. Benzinga's latest research indicates that the Uruguayan payments processor experienced a decline in its share price during pre-market trading following the release of its financial results for the third quarter of fiscal 2025. The company reported earnings of 17 cents per share, which slightly exceeded analysts' expectations of 16 cents. Revenue for the quarter reached approximately $282 million, surpassing the anticipated $262 million. This represents a significant year-over-year increase of 52% and a 10% rise compared to the previous quarter, driven by higher transaction volumes. dLocal's gross profit also saw a boost, climbing 32% year-over-year to over $103 million, although it rose only 4% from the previous quarter. The company attributed its quarter-over-quarter improvements to strong growth in frontier markets such as Colombia, Bolivia, and Nigeria, alongside robust performance in Brazil across various sectors like streaming and e-commerce. However, these gains were somewhat tempered by challenges in Egypt, where the company faced earlier losses in market share, as well as margin pressures in Argentina due to lower rate spreads and increased processing costs. Additionally, dLocal noted mix-related margin compression in Mexico and slower growth in total payment volume, likely linked to rising import tariffs. The gross margin for the quarter fell to 37%, down from 42% a year earlier and 39% in the prior quarter. adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization came in at about $71.7 million, reflecting a 37% increase year over year. Total payment volume reached a record of $10.4 billion, up 59% compared to the same period last year. As of September 30th, the company reported cash and cash equivalents totaling $604.5 million. Chief Executive Officer Pedro Arnt highlighted the achievement of surpassing $10 billion in total payment volume and $100 million in gross profit, emphasizing the company's strong growth and resilience. Looking forward, dLocal anticipates achieving revenue growth at the higher end of its projected range of 30-40% for the fiscal year. As a result of these mixed earnings, dLocal's shares fell by nearly 12%, trading at approximately $13.12 in pre-market activity. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and have a great morning.